Listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Sinners, Jesus will receive. Sound this word of grace to all who the heavenly pathway leave, all who linger, all who fall. Sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ receiveth sinful men. Make the message clear and plain. Christ receiveth sinful men. What an order. Make the message clear and plain. What a privilege. But also I would ask each one of you to pray that that will be done, that God will give the message that is clear and plain, one that honors Him, one that is a message that all can hear, one is a message that is both for the church and for the world. Listen to the last stanza. Christ receiveth sinful men, even me with all my sin, purged from every spot and stain. Heaven with Him I enter in. Sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ receiveth sinful men. Make the message clear and plain. Christ receiveth sinful men.
Sing it o'er and o'er again. Reading once again from Paul's letter to the Colossians. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Let's pray, beginning to do what God, through Paul here, commands us to do. Continue in prayer. There must be a beginning, and then there will be a continuing. In heaven, there will be sight, not just faith, but there will be praise. Heaven is described as those who sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. Part of prayer can be song, and many songs are prayers. Let's now pray that we will understand these words rightly, and we will do as we are here commanded. Our Father, we give thanks for thy word, every part of it, from the beginning, telling us of creation and how it was done, so immediately. Thou didst speak the word, and it was done, and it was good, even very good. Every day, thy creating certain things, telling us what was created on those days, and then resting. And we pray, Father, that we also may learn the place of that rest by faith in thee and in Christ, that we may be prepared for the eternal rest. We give thanks also that there is a day of rest, the Lord's Day, as John was described in the Spirit on that day. We pray that we also may be, and that it may be a day for us of both hearing thy word and then coming back to thee in prayer, and that we might learn especially to pray together in one accord, in one place, as that early church did, and they also continue doing so. We pray, Father, that we might know all the blessing of prayer, especially coming as a sinner, as the publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner, and how that man went to his house justified, rather than the other, who spoke of himself as righteous, more righteous than others. We ask, Father, for thy teaching through thy word and by thy Spirit, as Paul here prayed for it, that we may have that blessing also, all of us who have the blessing and the call to preach that word. And Father, also the great guilt if we do not, as Paul could say, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel, and the warning that was to be given, as Lord, you did warn Ezekiel that if he did not warn the wicked, their blood would be on his hand. We pray that we might see that in our nation and every other nation as well. We also give thanks, Father, for the temporal blessings, the blessings of the sunshine, the rain, the blessings of seed time and harvest, the blessings that we have in food and raiment and shelter that others do not have, and we pray for them and for thy mercy on them, as well as to continue to give this to us. And we pray, Father, that those who are suffering may also through their suffering learn that we are not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from thy mouth. We pray that thou would be with those that have special needs in sickness, injury, sorrow, injury in loved ones injured, and they need to be cared for, and the places of the earthquake, the places of war, other calamities that come, and sicknesses. We pray, Father, for homes that are troubled and broken. We pray especially for the children in those homes. We pray for the schools and the workplace, for government leaders, that your fear might be put in every heart, all through Christ, in whose name we give thanks, and pray for every needed blessing. Amen. As we look at these words once again, they are a command. Continue in prayer. Paul gave a number of commands in the third chapter and continues to do so in this fourth chapter of his letter to the Colossians. In the third chapter, we read verse 14, above all these things, put on charity. Just before that, he gave the command of forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. And the whole third chapter beginning with, if you are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. He is commanding us to do all these different things. And then, not only verse 14, but verse 15, another command, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Two commands there. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, be ye thankful. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And then other things added to that, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And then another command in verse 17, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. And then he commands wives to submit themselves to their husbands, husbands to love their wives, children to obey their parents. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger. Servants, obey in all things your masters. And then coming into the fourth chapter, the first verse, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. What a different nation we would have if we obeyed all these commands. It would be different for ourselves. We would be blessed. As Isaiah already wrote, thou wilt keep him at perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And sadly, because we have not obeyed these commands, we are wicked. And as Isaiah said, the wicked are like the troubled sea casting up dirt and mire. And that's what we're doing. To the extent of destroying our cities, burning our buildings, looting, protesting, anarchy, terrible. Police are having a harder and harder time. So many troubled homes, so many children growing up without proper training, parents not teaching their children. As another letter that Paul wrote, to bring up the children in the fear and the nurture of God. That is not being done. Sadly, it can't really be done in broken homes. And often, homes that never had a father, just a mother. Children brought up in such circumstance. And we need to realize that though the Lord Jesus said plainly, the church is a salt and a light. But then he had to give that sad word. But if the salt have lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be trodden under foot of men. And we are not obeying his commands. And I fear that we are not continuing in prayer. And I'm afraid that many people have never really began to pray rightly. To pray as lost sinners. Paul, who wrote this, was described as, behold, he prayeth. That was Christ's description of him when Ananias was afraid to go to him by Christ's command. Behold, he prayeth. He was talking with God, and God was talking to him as Christ had talked to him. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And as God was talking to him through his holy law, he said, I had not known sin except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. What is all our rioting? What is all our burning the cities and burning the buildings and looting? Covetousness. We want something different, something God hasn't given. And we're all to blame. And sadly, all blaming another. We are products of psychiatry and psychologists. Often blaming the circumstance. Poor me. My troubled circumstance. We have to begin with our troubled heart. And we have to begin by confessing it. Confessing it like David did. I was in a horrible pit. I cried to the Lord. He took me out. Placed my feet upon a rock. We must have that first prayer. As already mentioned, Paul had, and he was described as praying. And we may believe that Paul never stopped praying. He did what he here is preaching, teaching. He practiced what he preached. And he could say how he prayed for the churches and how he had many burdens and many troubles, shipwrecked, hungry, beaten, writing this letter here from prison in Rome. But also he said the care of the churches. And as we saw in the previous messages, how he prayed especially for those in Ephesus, of the wonderful things that God could give to them. And I repeat what I read then, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with his might and by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And then Paul begins to speak of God, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So we don't have to say, can God do it? He can do exceeding above all that we ask or think. God could bring peace on earth today. He speaks of it, that swords will be turned into pruning hooks and spears into plowshares. What a day that would be. The awfulness of the wars that are taking place. But sin is rampant in every place, and God is bringing judgment in nature. There is drought, there are the earthquakes, there are other calamities in nature, and God has done that through the years. He did it to Israel, to Judah, to Egypt, brought judgment, and many other countries as well came under God's judgment in nature, and sometimes one nation being used to punish another. And that is certainly taking place today, both civil strife within the nations and between nations, and how we need to pray for peace, how we need to pray especially for that peace that comes through the gospel. And that's what Paul is really saying here, first just giving him the general exhortation, continue in prayer, watch the same with thanksgiving, and then his second request, with all praying also for us. Us, Paul, and those with him. Later he mentions some of those that were with him. Verse 9, he says, when Onesimus, the faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. In the 10th verse, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. And Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas. Then in verse 11, and Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort to me. And then he mentions some more, Epaphras, one who is of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you. And then he mentions later how Luke, the beloved physician, is with him, and Demas. All those we may believe are included when he says, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us, plural, a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Two things we should pray particularly for in that light. One is that God will bless all those who are called to preach his word, that it will be done faithfully. And that's what Paul is here also saying. Verse 4, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, as God would have it. As he said to the church at Ephesus when he took the leave of them, his last visit to them, he said, I have not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God. And that's what we ought to speak. Every church, every person, every family, in every nation, the whole word of God. If we all had that and all speak what we ought to speak, then the church would be one. Sadly, too many times, the church speaks one against another, even to the point of wickedness, murder, killing. Awful, terrible. And it's used. I read an article today about whether the church could, believers could really practice in the place of business and have a right to do so. And then there was a whole list of all the things that the church was wrong in. Slavery and other things that it justified. All that is there. And today the church is sadly divided on so many issues. It is very terrible. A few years ago, an issue came up between our city, before our city council. They had to decide one way or the other, and the church was divided. From what I believe, more of the church spoke against the truth than for the truth. We have gone that way. It is a time of wickedness, and I've mentioned it before, and I'll mention it again. Wickedness when it comes to divorce and remarriage. Unlike the scripture teaching, tradition instead of truth. And we can go on and on with the issue before us now, arising more and more of whether there can be man and man married, woman and woman married. And just recently, a church has decided that that is all right, when that same denomination all through the years, one of the early denominations in our nation, and one of the largest denominations, the Protestant denominations, has changed their thinking. Has the Bible changed? No. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for ourselves. And we need to ask all those who can pray in faith to pray for those who teach the Word, those who are responsible for leading the church, those who are responsible for changing those things in that particular church that I just mentioned, voting on it, in the congregations, as well as the leaders, putting it before the people, and then making, what I believe, very wrong decisions. Yes, as I said earlier, but if the church has lost, the salt has lost its savor, it is good for nothing but to be trodden under foot of men. I remember a number of years ago, a group of senators wrote to that same church denomination that they were doing wrong when they were promoting and very much in one with communism in their church and would communist, that our senators had to reprove the church. It should be the church that should be leading the senators, the representatives, the president, the judges. The church should lead the way, not tell government what to do, but tell each individual what to do in repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And each government official should have his church, should have the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom, should be told every Lord's Day, every time we have an opportunity to gather together in prayer. That's what formerly took place. I was thinking recently, it's time for the National Day of Prayer, and I remember when there used to be what they called the election sermons, that when the government would come into order, they would have a preacher preach to them, and it was called an election sermon, probably an hour, that a minister would preach to government officials and tell them God's word, God's way. That's how our nation had its beginning, and now, supposedly, no one has the right to even speak that in public. And though we cannot force one another through government, yet we have as much right and as much need to speak these things in command. In command today, as Paul writing here to this church, and particularly the church, should be commanded to do what Paul here says to this church throughout that third chapter and throughout the fourth chapter. Masters, and then continue in prayer. Our leaders formerly did call our nation to prayer. Our leader today doesn't want to do that. It's sad. It's true that we are more diverse probably now as a people than we were years back. But why? Because the church has not preached the gospel to every creature. And when we have an influx of immigrants and different societies, different religions, we have all the more reason to do what Paul said to the Athenians, a very learned people in Athens at that time. God commands all men everywhere to repent. He could say to every one of them from different places when they came to speak of, as I said, nothing but new things, and they had much conversation there, discussing different things, and they wanted to hear Paul, what he had to say, and he said that to every one of them, no matter where they came from, no matter who they were, it is in God that you live and move and have your being. That's you, me. Have you spoken to that God? Have you heard his voice to you? Samuel was spoken to by God. First he thought it was Eli. He didn't yet know the voice of God. And finally Eli says, if you hear the voice again, say, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. He heard the voice of God. Saul heard the voice of the Lord Jesus speaking, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Jesus, the Son of God. He must be that to every man, because every man is going to be judged by him one day. And what a blessing it is if we have him judge us now and make us pray first for ourselves as sinners, lost sinners, and then out of those who are saved. Yes, saved. We must be saved first before anyone can be called to preach the word. It is true that some have preached it before they were saved, later were called to salvation. A man like Thomas Scott, a neighbor of John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, he did not like Newton's preaching. He was more liberal. But finally, he said, God made me like a little child. And he wrote the book, The Force of Truth. The force of truth can bring us to repentance. The force of truth can bring us to faith. The force of truth can bring us to prayer, to God, through Christ. As I repeat, first for ourselves and then for others. And today I would especially emphasize, pray for those who preach. And secondly, pray for more to preach in our nation, in every nation. Pray for laborers to be sent to the fields that are white under the harvest, and the laborers are few, that there might be peace through the gospel. As Paul said, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we'll have peace with one another as well when we have that first. First right with God, and then right with our neighbor through Christ.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise the Lord.